At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Podvine.com Studios, you're listening to AM 1220 The Word, your home for Christian talk.
The Word.
Who says you have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible? Join me, Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 10, Friday afternoons at 1:30 for Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word.
WHKW W245CY Cleveland, reminding you it's time to get back to church this Sunday, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Millions of Americans heading home right now following the long Thanksgiving break. Officials say so far there were few travel-related problems. A few problems where maybe the planes just weren't there on time, but overall it went pretty smoothly. And across the nation, officials say the weather has cooperated for the most part. Four people shot to death in North Carolina. Officials say it appears to be near a campsite for homeless people. Sampson County Sheriff's Department says an initial review indicating someone shot and killed three people, then took his own life. And three young men of Palestinian descent have been shot and wounded at the University of Vermont. Police in Burlington searching for a suspect described as a white man. This is SRN News.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance here on this 26th day of November. And tonight, Well, you know what? Next week at this time, which will be December 3rd, we will be at the Geauga County Right to Life Christmas Concert. So next week's program will be pre-recorded. And that Christmas concert for Geauga County Right to Life, who really, really work hard, Geauga County Right to Life, who have fought with everything they've had from day one, never gave up, been involved in the pro-life fight for decades now. Here they're having their annual Christmas concert, and it's a fundraiser. There's no admission fee. It's just they're taking up a love offering, and the time will be 7 p.m. next Sunday, and the address is 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's in Chesterland, Ohio, and the zip is 44026. So mark your calendars and come out and help celebrate Geauga County Right to Life. They have worked so hard to save innocent lives. Title of my message tonight is Fear God and God Alone. In perilous times such as these days in which we are living, people begin to feel distraught. Anxiety takes over. even the lives of many of the saints. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to discourage the people. And I'm hearing, I hear from people, "Oh, Pastor, pray for my daughter. She had the kill shot and she is with child. Pray that she won't lose the baby." We hear, Pastor, I think these chemtrails, they're making me sick. They're making me sick. I see the chemtrails out there, and there's a lot to that for sure. We hear, Pastor, I'm afraid that this 5G radiation is going to cause cancer in all of us. Well, there's something to that, too. Then, are we going to have a civil war? Are we, is America heading towards a civil war? Well, that's a good possibility. And then, are we headed for World War III with China and Russia? These are some of the things that we hear all the time, and people are they're talking about. Well, folks, what I hear, and this is something else, just recently, I had a long, long time friend of mine say to me, "Why are you still alive?" Now, a question that's, again, been asked more than once. And then just recently, Pastor Howe says to me, "You know, Pastor, every time you go on the air, you get a whole lot of people angry at you." And, he's right. Why is that? Well, they were both speaking of our exposing the sinister operations of the deep state, the illegal activities of the DOJ, the FBI, the NSA, the IRS, the military-industrial complex. We're the light. We're the watchman on the wall. We're the light in the darkness. We expose the darkness here. Combine that with what we've done, exposing the pure evil. And folks, when I say pure evil, I mean pure evil of the Democratic Communist Collective, Planned Predators. They call themselves Planned Parenthood. Even their name is a lie. They are evil to the very core, evil to the core. The evil things they do with babies and children, just absolutely pure evil. NARAL, the same thing. The ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liars Union. Antifa, burn, loot, and murder. LGBTQ, one pastor said that it stands for "Let God Burn Them Quickly." Along with, and more today, we're seeing more and more of these people, these Democrats, joining the Church of Satan, having that become their church, Church of Satan. Now, I can understand why this might cause some to ask, "Why are you still alive?" The answer is very simple, folks, and it applies to all the others out there that are like me. God is not finished with me yet. Well, just like Isaiah, until God was finished with him, they couldn't touch him. But then God allowed him to be martyred. And the same thing with Peter and all of the apostles. Because the more they suffered for Christ, the more they'll glory with him in glory in heaven. The reward will be so much greater. Well, here we read in the Bible 366 times, we read either "fear not" or "be not afraid." Fear will never do you any good, and can always do a lot of harm. So what do? Well, you turn your fear into righteous indignation, and you be, as Scripture says, be angry and sin not. And we're going to start tonight in Philippians 3:20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that word "conversation" is not used in the way we use. Actually, in the Greek, politeuma means citizenship. Citizenship. So it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know that we're just passing through this world, and this world is compared to eternity, so temporal. He goes on to say, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto a glorious body? Well, our bodies are vile in the sense that our bodies have sin. We're born in sin, and sin dwelleth within the flesh. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, working according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Well, I don't know. It's kind of hard for folks really to get a grip and really to try to really comprehend that glorified body. I mean, you know, none of us out there have ever had anything even close to compare this glorified body. But what do we know about it? Well, we know that it means that we can never age. We'll never age. As far as we're concerned, time will be no more. We'll never become ill, never get sick, never have any kind of a disease or malady. It's going to be a glorified body. God, all of that will be taken away. All the corruption will be removed from our bodies. We'll never become senile. And we will never, ever die again. Now, try to wrap your mind around that. Just think about this, especially you folks that are my age, when the arthritis sets in and the aches and the pains. And people often ask me, Pastor, why does God allow that when we get older, all these things to happen? Well, I think he's given us that as an incentive to be more and more willing to leave this world and go to be to glory. He says, who shall change your body into that it may be fashioned like unto the glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, that word there, working, energia, actually, it's not like the way we use it, but it means a creative energizing. It's an energizing. To the energizing whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind, Semchikos, in the Lord. That means having the same moral values. And he goes on to say, I entreat also the true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Well, he's telling this, and that's an interesting thing, because that word yoke fellow in the Greek is Suzygos. And that Suzygos was a man's name, just like John is or Bill is, okay? And it's possible that when he was saying, I entrust my true Suzygos, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, that he's saying, kind of try to intercede, get in between these two women. Try to get them to make peace, get along, and get over their differences. And also with Clement and let's and all of the other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Well, boy, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't get any better than to have your name in the book of life. That's where you want your name. If your name is in the book of life when you leave this world, things can never get better. If it's not in the book of life when you leave this world, things can never get any worse. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'm going to tell you, we need to do that. One of the things that we always do at Doors of the Word Baptist Church, after every morning service, we say, I think words of praise. I want to hear the folks out there, everybody in there that have a word of praise for our Lord. We're reminded, and probably just about everyone that's listening to me here tonight, even on your worst days, there's probably a billion people in this world that would trade places with you, even on your worst days. So we have a lot to rejoice for. And of course, if you know the Lord and you're saved, born again, child of God, boy, that is a lot to rejoice in right there. Let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. Why did he say that? The Lord is at hand. Well, it's because Paul here, just like the other apostles, knew Christ's return was imminent. And they expected he could return at any moment. And folks, we're still the same. I mean, Christ could return. The rapture could take place. And I'm not talking about the second coming, but the rapture could take place even before this radio program is over with tonight. It could happen any time. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, when he talks about be careful for nothing, that's interesting. In everything, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Well, we are to worry about nothing because we can pray about everything. That's what the message is here. Since we can pray, since we can petition our Lord about everything, we should worry about nothing. Worrying never does you any good at all. It can do a lot of harm, but it never does you any good. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, I'm going to tell you, there's so much written on the peace of God. I mean, we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God that we know the God when we know the God of peace. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. You know, now think about this. I want you to, as I go through this again, think about this. Think about what has been taking place with, and what we talked about, the Department of Justice, the FBI, how all of these in these days that we're living in have been weaponized against Christians. But think of what this world has done with President Donald Trump. Think about this corrupt judicial system. You see, and this is why we have the Tea Party out there. This is why we have Tactical Civics, that we're here, we're salt and light. We for we try to overcome their darkness with light. And when he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, well, think about that. Think about what you hear in the mainstream media today, how much of that is true. Think about what's being taught in the public school systems. Think about how much of that is true. Whatsoever things are honest, well, it goes the same way. Think about your judicial system, your courts today, especially George Soros appointed attorney generals. You won't find any honesty there. You won't find any honesty at the Justice Department or the FBI today. Whatsoever things are just, well, the same thing applies. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any other virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, that's an interesting thing. That word virtue, the English word, is related to virility, which really is, has a closer to the meaning of the Greek word eriot. It means, well, it kind of means hyper-virtue, virtuous. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, Paul had previously said that, watch what I do and do as I do. Now, that's to say that when you're preaching to God's people, that's an awesome, awesome responsibility. Now think about that, what that apostle had said here. Because these words today have gone down in history. Here it is, 2,000 years later. And Paul is still preaching. Through his words are being preached right through the Bible here. And he's telling the fellow Christians, as he says, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You know, here the church, the Philippian church, it was really special in a way because they were a poor church. They weren't very wealthy at all. And here they were being persecuted. They were under much persecution. And so here Paul is telling them, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished. Now, he was in prison, so it was very hard for them to really even do that. He goes on to say, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. And I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Well, it's a blessing in a way. Today, a lot of us, well, especially people my age, have acquired a lot of things, a lot of property, a lot of things we really don't even need. I've got more books than I can ever read, probably if I lived to be another 200 years old, I could never read all of these books. But I praise the good Lord I have them. But at the same time, I can get by just as well if I don't have them. I learned to, as what he's telling us here, folks, we don't need all of these material things. If God blesses us with them, great. If not, okay, then we can learn to live without them. they're not that important. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now you say, well, how could that possibly be, Pastor? I mean, we can't do all things. I mean, none of us can do everything. I mean, we can all do something. Well, yeah, right. Well, what he's telling you is the things that God has sent him to do. All that God has laid out for us to do. If God raises you up and sends you out, he will provide the means for you to accomplish the goal. And this is where he says, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things that God has sent you to do can be accomplished. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate in my affliction. Well, that word communicate is not exactly the way that we use that today. That word communicate actually means to share what you have, to share financially, to share all of the things that you have. And that's why he's saying, notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. In other words, they provided what they could provide for him. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no churches communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So he's saying here that even though they were a poor church that even when he left Macedonia, the other churches, it was only the church in Philippi, it was only those that shared with him where it came to receiving their finances. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. So even when he was in Thessalonica, the church in Philippi sent and shared with him and helped provide for him. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That word account is logos, the logos, the testimony, is what he's saying here, where he's saying that I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your testimony. He goes on here to say, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What he's referring to is he's referring to the necessities. Those who freely give will also freely receive. And that's what Paul is saying here. All that they need for their service for Christ. And it doesn't mean he's going to provide all of these. You know, like the prosperity preachers believe that all of these material things that we don't aren't necessary. And so I want to go now to 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 4, wherein they think it is strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. Now, he's talking about the fact that the people you knew, the friends, the acquaintance, your family, and others that were in the world when you were in the world, before you got saved, you were in the world and you were of the world. But since you're saved, you may still be in it, but you're not of the world. And what happens is, I remember what a change in me. When I got saved, there was quite a change in me. And the change was much for the better. But boy, I'm going to tell you, a lot of my friends, they just couldn't understand. They couldn't understand that change in me, why I didn't want to run with them anymore. To the same, as it says, excess of riot. And, you know, they thought that I had lost my mind. Don't tell me, oh, no, I can't believe that he's gone and now he's one of those Jesus freaks. Well, I literally had a judge in a courtroom refer to me as a Jesus freak. And, well, he regretted doing that. Now, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. You say, what in the world does that mean? Why would you preach the gospel to the dead? Well, he's not talking about the dead physically in the flesh. He's talking about those that are spiritually dead, the unsaved. And that's who you're supposed to witness to, is the unsaved. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch into prayer. You say, what do you mean the end of all things is at hand? Well, Peter here, just like Paul, was expecting the imminent return of Christ at any time. A lot of the things that were happening in their days, as the Lord Jesus predicted, were taking place or being fulfilled on a smaller scale of what's going to happen on a much larger scale. And so he goes on to say, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover up the multitude of sins. That's interesting. I want to jump over real quick. I believe it's James chapter 5 and verse 19. Yes, it is. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And that's what he's referring to here. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Well, here, folks, again, that's one of the things that, and I know sometimes, sometimes it can be a little tough, maybe even on a family or marriage when there are people that are become homeless, and you have friends, you have relatives, acquaintances that, for one reason or another, will need a place to stay, shelter. And I'll say one thing. It's usually a little tougher on women. They seem to need more privacy than men. But I'll say hats off to my wife for, over the years, many, many times, I've brought people home that needed a place to stay. A temporary shelter for a couple of days, and we did that. Not just, you know, sometimes it was entire families. We had a homeless woman with her three kids, had no place to go. We took her in, and she was here for about a month. We've had a number of people because, not because we're such great and good people, but because it's the right thing to do. It's if the cause is a righteous cause. He goes on. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards in the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, oracles simply means the doctrines of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the praise and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, here. He's making a couple points, right? Every one of you out there listening to me, if you're saved, God has given you a gift. Every one of you. Now, often we've seen people that have a gift, but they don't want to use that gift. They want to use a gift that God didn't give them. And believe me on this, folks, God always knows better. So if God has chosen a gift for you, that's exactly the gift that you want to use. You don't ever tell God he got it wrong. Don't do that. And I've seen situations. I was saying today how I knew of a fellow who wanted to be a preacher. It's really bad. He wanted to be a preacher. But he stuttered. And he spoke so softly, you could hardly understand him. And so he was no preacher. But it turned out that he ended up being a good Bible teacher. So if God has given you the gift of teaching, grab that gift. Whatever that gift is that God has given you. When I was ordained, they said that I had the gift of exhortation, exhorting people to action. Well, I've tried to use that in 50 years as best as I can, because that's why God raised me up, to serve him. And I know if that's the gift that God gave me, then that's the gift, the best gift for me to use. He says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as through some strange thing happening to you. Well, look, I had a woman say to me just the other day, and she was really out of place when she said that, because she said, you people think, and she didn't believe in it, apparently does not believe in the rapture of the church. And she says, you people think that the Lord Jesus is going to come take you out. Well, it's not. You know, and you're going to have to go through the hard times like everybody else. Well, we're not going to go through the wrath of God. God has promised us that many, many times, that it would be totally repugnant for that to happen, because it would be totally unnecessary and totally out of the character. The whole purpose for the tribulation period is the purification of the wife of God, which is the nation of Israel, and judgment on the Gentile nations. There would be absolutely no purpose at all. In fact, it would be totally contrary to purpose for the church to go through the tribulation period. But anyhow, this woman had this attitude that we think that we're going to miss the fiery trials. No, not at all. The Lord Jesus said that as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to have tribulation. not the wrath of God. There's a difference between the wrath of God, the tribulation period, and persecution. Why today, the persecution of the church is greater than it's ever been, greater than it's ever been. And yet, out there, what is called the mainstream media, they don't even think it's newsworthy. 22,000 Armenians killed just in a year, and you hardly hear anything. You hardly hear Christians, Armenian Christians martyred. But you don't hear anything about that on the news. We've spoken of it many times. What a horrible thing. And we know that, yes, there's a growing, both a growing anti-Israel and anti-Christian, anti-Jew and anti-Christian in this country here and around the world. The hatred towards both Jews and Christians is growing rapidly today. And that's exactly the way God's word said it would be. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you, and on your part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Well, I had, over the many, many years out there in the battle for life, I preached on the streets in front of those bloody, bloody abortion mills. And I mean, we didn't pull any punches. We preached heaven sweet and hell hot. And on the radio, too. And we saved a lot of babies, over 24,000 since 1973 or 74. Babies have been saved from a cruel and painful death, which cost the child-killing industry quite a bit of money. That's why they, many, many times, they were, I was falsely accused of, you name it, about everything out there on those streets in front of those abortion mills. And we had some of these prissy preachers actually come out and say that as long as child killing was legal, they would not stand against it because Romans 13 taught that they had to obey the government even when the government was tyrannical. Folks, now that's a lie. Romans 13 means exactly what Romans 13 teaches, what it says. And let me tell you, it makes it very, very clear about what is legitimate government and how we are to respond. And resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Failure. And that's what these prissy preachers did. They failed. They failed to resist tyranny. That's why we have 150 million dead babies in America, because the prissy preachers, too few of us, the very few of us had to go and fight the fight for the many, while the many set the fight out. That's why God was expelled from the public school system, when the few fought so hard, and the many set back. Oh, trust me on that one. No place has our Lord been more disrespected than right from the pulpits of churches. He goes on to say, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other man's matters. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, that's exactly what we were talking about, folks. Judgment begins in the house of God. And in that house, it's in the pulpit. It starts right in the pulpit. This is why today you've got so many, well, I should use the word assemblies, that are churches that aren't really churches. They have pastors that are hirelings. They're not really pastors. They're reading from Bibles that are really not the Bibles. They're perversions of the Bible. And what do? Well, they want to stay comfortable. They want to stay comfortable in their faith. They are not doers of the word. Like the Bible says, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, but they're hearers only. And they're deceiving themselves. Oh, they're staying comfortable, and they go to church on Sunday morning, and they come home and they say, well, God must be pleased with me. I went to church. Well, he's not pleased with you because you went to church. He's not pleased with you until you take what you've learned and you put it to practical application and it bears fruit. You see, we are to worship God in praise, worship, and service, along with our tithes. So many people forget that service, especially where it takes any courage. Oh, boy, no place has our Lord been more dishonored than from pulpits that were totally void of courage. No courage there. And folks, when you go to a church, if that pastor is not as bold as a lion in that pulpit, God didn't put him there. You need to turn around and go find one that is. And when it preaches the Word of God, and he's tested by the Word of God. Again, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? But now listen, this next verse really should send shivers up the spines of a lot of people. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls in him and well-doing unto a faithful Creator. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of his glory, that should be revealed. Now, it's an interesting thing how you have people. First of all, let me just say, there are no perfect pastors out there today. There are no perfect pastors. And we look all through the Bible, and we see how God will use who he will use. And sometimes God will take the last people you think that God can use and use them. Well, look at King David, a man after God's old heart. David was always messing up, but God used him mightily. Well, I can't think of a better example right here also than Peter. Here Peter denied the Lord three times. Well, maybe there is one better example, and that's the Apostle Paul, two great apostles. Paul set out, he wanted to kill all the Christians. That was his job. That was what he felt his calling was. And yet, look how God has used these men mightily. Even today, they're still speaking through us, through God's word here, as we're reading 2,000 years later. He goes on to say, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. In other words, Peter is saying, look, feed the word of God to the flock. Feed them, nourish them in God's word. Don't do it because you feel that you have to. Don't do it out of constraint. In other words, you say, well, I'm going to go out and do it. I don't want to, but I'm afraid if God has set me out, if I don't do it, why, God's going to deal with me. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is you do it because you want to do it. You want to please the Lord. You want to please the Lord. And then he's telling you here, when he says you do it, don't do it. And the prosperity preachers really need to read that. Don't do it for filthy lucre. Don't do it for pay. That's not the reason that you should be a pastor. Like Paul said, whether you get paid for it or not. If God calls you to do it, just do it. He'll take care of you. He'll provide. And being in the ministry for money is exactly the wrong. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out that real Bible-believing fundamentalist churches, those that really hold literally to the gospel, God provides what it is they need. These mega churches that be like the Church of Laodicea, they become so wealthy, they forget where their wealth came from. They forget about the purpose, their purpose of teaching and preaching and spreading the gospel. They forget about that. They keep thinking, we become wealthy, we want to be wealthier. We've built this huge building, we want to build a bigger one. And so he goes on to say, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And that's what we're looking for, all of us pastors looking for the chief shepherd to come someday. I want to now do a little commentary. You know, we've been losing ground here to the Antichrist, heathen, communist, because the very few of us have been fighting, while the many have again set back and avoided the fight. And I'm talking about even in activist churches. It seems like you only have you have the 10% doing the work, and especially out here where it comes to the deep state. We're, the church is supposed to be a light in the darkness, salt and light. They're supposed to stand against this tyranny. They're supposed to have the courage to do that. And that's why so many of us have gone to jail. They picked us off one at a time. In fact, Ben Franklin said, we will either stand together or we shall surely hang separately. He was right about that. People need today to get involved, become doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving their own selves. Deceiving your own selves. Folks out there listening, I know not everybody can do everything. You can't. I know not. But it seems like there are some of us that really to try. But here, today, I was saying, here we here at this church, at Doers of the Church, We're still short of some people. We need, and we're doers of the word church, an activist church, but we could use some volunteers to come in during the week just to answer phones for us. Well, I mean, we get more phone calls and more messages. Just recently, Heather had to delete 34,000 emails. Thousand, right? We need people, doers of the word, to come and just because we have. And now, I'm not saying that the folks in our church aren't doers of the word. They work. They do a lot of work. I mean, really a lot of work. In fact, folks, remember, it was Geauga County Right to Life, which is a part of our church, the offices in our church. We just put out 1,500 signs just in our own county alone on issue one. We've been fighting these battles tooth and nail, nonstop. But we need people just to read the emails, to come in and read emails for us and then take a notes and tell me which ones are the important ones and which are spam. You folks out there listening to us here, especially in the state of Ohio, you really need to attend your tea party. We have tea parties in a number of counties out here. Tactical Civics. Tactical Civics is growing and growing. It's a way of taking our country back, one county at a time. But more and most important, every Thursday, we have our Thursday morning prayer when we gather for several hours in prayer. But you folks that are listening to us out there, all of you that have sent, when you send your donations into us, we put your envelope in a pile and we bring them down there. We divide them up and we pray for the people that have supported us. We pray for the Lord to support them. But we should have, even though we're doers of the word, we should have more people at that Thursday morning prayer than we have. Because their prayer is important. Now, I know that not everyone who can do all things, and I know that not everyone, you know, there a lot of people have full-time jobs where they can't do that, or children at home. But the ones that can do it should do it. Now, we're running out of time tonight, and it comes again to the most important part of this radio program. We talked about, we start out talking about the glorified bodies. If you're saved, if you're a born-again believer, you're going to have a glorified body someday. And things couldn't get any better. You'll have a body where you won't ever feel any pain. Why? Well, because you believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You prayed the sinner's prayer. And you asked the Lord to come into your heart. You asked him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. Others out there, well, you're not going to fare so well. You're going to be resurrected to eternal torment. You're going to have a body that goes through the process of dying. You're going to have a body where the worms never cease, where the worm never ceases, where there'll be gnashing of teeth. Things aren't going to be good. Doesn't have to be that way. It'll be that way because you denied when you heard the gospel preached to you. When that invitation was given, you denied it. So don't do that, folks. Tonight, if I were you listening out there, I would pray to the Father and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, folks. And you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. Believe me, it doesn't get any better than that. I know we're coming up to the end of the program. How much time do I have?
You got about a minute.
And so, if you have not done that, when you hear the preacher give you that invitation, he's just the messenger. Listen to me. Trust me on this. He's just the messenger. If you heard me give that invitation tonight, do it. Get on your knees. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And you will become a new creature, born-again believer. And don't do it just to escape the fires of hell. But do it because of what the Lord Jesus did for you. Well, we're out of time, so at this time of night, we always say, good night. And then we always say, God bless. bless. And then we say always, 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 and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right, what's left.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.